You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidi Eberi Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
A lot of people are going through all kinds of things. People are going through different challenges. A lot of people in life have made different mistakes. Praise the Lord. You know, I always say, wherever you are, well, you can sit down. Praise the Lord. Wherever you are today is a function of decisions you took yesterday, right? And where you're going to be tomorrow is also a function of decisions that you are taking today. Praise the Lord. And in life, we all make mistakes. Is there anybody who has never made a mistake before? Can I see your hand? We all make mistakes one way or the other. Praise the Lord. And sometimes, some of us never recover from the mistake. And in recent times, something has been happening that really is getting me worried. The Nigerian man has never been known to commit suicide. Are you with me? It's a recent thing in the last 4 or 5 years. No matter what Nigeria goes through, he say, he go better. He go better. I mean, with that word of encouragement, he goes through all kinds of stress, all kinds of crises. And most times, he comes out what? Stronger, better. But in recent times, the enemy has sold a lie to a lot of people that maybe where they are can never be better. Maybe what they're going through, they can never come out of it. Or maybe what they have done, is an unpardonable sin. And that is a lie the devil is telling a lot of people. That a lot of people are doing silly, stupid things. But the God that we serve is a loving God. He said he does not desire that any sinner should perish. But rather the sinner should be what? Should be saved, come to repentance. And this morning I bring us a message titled, Another Chance. Another chance. Sometimes in life we've taken decisions that if you look back, you wonder, why did I even go through that path? And sometimes the enemy will want to use guilty conscience to keep you down as much as possible. Is anybody else in the house? Can I see your hand? But God is saying, you know, sometimes there's this picture that we paint about God. And I was listening to something during the week. You know, some people paint a picture of God as a God that has one big machete. Let me put it that way. Praise the Lord. Waiting for you to make one mistake so that he can do what? Cut off something from you. But God is not like that. That was why he sent his son Jesus Christ to come to ensure that sinners come to repentance. And every one of us have another chance to get it right. Praise the Lord. And the key text I'm taking is from John chapter 8, 1 to 11. John 8, 1 to 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. I want you to underline the word taken. It means she was caught in the very act. Praise the Lord. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thy accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. I have preached this message from different perspectives. Praise the Lord. But today I want to look at six or five different issues. I want to look at that from the sin of adultery. And I want to look at it from what the law of Moses said about adultery. I also want to look at the woman. I also want us to see the scribes and the Pharisees. Then I also want to look at how Jesus approached this. And of course, we'll conclude. You know, like I said earlier, sometimes in life, we do things that are very stupid. Things that are very silly. And sometimes the enemy wants to use those things to ensure that people never return to God and their lives will be ended. Adultery is one thing that God detests. Fornication, I'm going to be talking about fornication and adultery. And that's one of the sins that the enemy has used to hold the youth and most people captive. Adultery, fornication, is one sin that you commit with a body. And let me tell you why the devil really works on this. Because the word of God says that your body is the temple of the living God. Let me make it clear to you why the enemy fights to get people into adultery and fornication. So our bodies are the temple of the living God, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to live where? Inside of us. And God has said, He that defies this temple, what did he say? Him, I will do what? Destroy. So if the devil is able to get you to defy this temple, he doesn't need to bother with you again because he knows God himself will honor his word. And that is why the enemy tries very hard to bring a lot of people to destruction. Just get them to defy their body. The moment they do that, forget it. God himself said, He is the one that will do what? Read Old Testament, New Testament, consistency about adultery and fornication. That the moment you destroy this temple, and I will be the one that will do what? Destroy the person. So adultery is the unlawful relationship between men and women, single or married. It is sexual unfaithfulness in thought and in act. Praise the Lord. To tell you how serious God sees adultery, when he was given the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20:14, he says, Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you take it down again to Matthew 5:27-28, he says, You have heard that it was said by them of old times, Thou shalt not commit adultery. This is Jesus talking. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Praise the Lord. It's a sin of the flesh. So this woman was caught in the very act. You know, a few days ago I was looking at something on the internet, on the Facebook. They caught two men somewhere around Surulere, right? Who were carrying a woman tied with a child. How many people saw it? Praise the Lord. And as they caught them, the kind of beating they were giving them. You know, when you see a mob action, the kind of beating they were giving them. I remember one time one young chap stole something in the market. Was it phone? How many people also watched that one? And the mob descended on this chap. After beating the chap, they put tire on the chap and did what? Burnt him. This woman was facing a mob action. By law of Moses, she was a dead woman. Are you with me? So she was a dead woman. They will have killed her before bringing her to even Jesus, but they wanted to rob Jesus into this. And I will get to that. Sometimes in life, we have done things that if even we ourselves, we are condemned by even our own soul. We know we don't deserve another chance to life. And that is why some people get to a point that they decide to take their own life because they believe, oh, there is no other way out of this. That is the lie of the devil. Because they brought this woman before Jesus Christ. They were carrying big stones. The Pharisees, the innocent people, the ignorant, you know, the mob action is so interesting. I remember in those days when we were in school, late 80s, that's when it happened. And there was this young man in school who was from the university community. You know, some people from the university community, they are always in school. They never even finish. They can never graduate. Some of them like that. So this boy, you will see him, you think he's a student. But several times they've caught him breaking into students' hostel, stealing things. All kinds of things that he will steal. Students will arrest him, hand over to the security, and take him to the police. Next thing, he's back on his feet again. They kept on doing this. Every time they will catch him, you know, hand him over to the police. After a few days, you see him back again on campus. So on this very occasion, they caught him. He broke into a student's room, stole things, and they caught him that night. I was coming back from engineering department, maybe in UNN. And suddenly we saw a mob holding the boy. Somebody said, let us take him to police. Somebody said, no, they will soon release him again. He cannot, you know. Suddenly they started beating him. That was my first time of seeing people kill people. They started beating this chap. Boom, boom. You know, somebody just threw block from somewhere, just fleeing. Bah. And that person, you know, next thing, they just carried him on the chest. And this guy was just struggling there. Next thing, somebody brought tire from somewhere. Boom. And you know, more actually, you don't know how these things happen. Next thing, petrol came from nowhere. They said no, they won't take him to police again. That this is the last time he will ever steal. They passed jungle judgment on the spot, which was wrong. Next thing, somebody threw matches. Another person just threw matches like this. Boom. And the guy died. He never had another chance to steal. And he never had another chance to repent. He never had another chance to get it right with God. He never had another chance. Even the thief on the cross had another chance because Christ was beside him. He got another chance to repent and get it right. Some of us come to church every day. We hear all kinds of stories, all kinds of sermon. God, that's why I love even the special song and the hymn this morning. Some of us are so hardened that we don't want to make room for Jesus. Even when he offers us another opportunity. Imagine after that young man has been beaten, thrown block at, and everything, he was bleeding. And suddenly the police appeared. And the boys ran away. But he has been beaten thoroughly. He will have had another chance to live. And maybe he will have been. He will have repented. And maybe he wouldn't have stolen again. but he didn't get that opportunity. That was what this woman was facing. Everybody knew the law. Praise the Lord. Sometimes adultery, people don't understand why adultery. I've given you one explanation. Because the temple of God is so important, and that is why the devil is after it. Praise the Lord. The issue of adultery is, like I said, is one of the sins of the flesh. And I will tell you why the enemy again is after people to get them to get to that point. Can we look at Proverbs 6, 23 to 35? Proverbs 6, 23 to 35. He said, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproof of instruction are the ways of life. To keep thee from the evil woman or man, I'm putting in quotes man, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, she better put in man also, a strange man. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for precious souls, precious life. Let's stop there. Whenever you see any man or woman that is being put to adultery or fornication all the time, note that that particular soul is precious to God, and the devil knows it. The adulterer or the adulteress does not go after souls that are not precious. Whenever you see somebody that is the biggest thing that person has, know ye that God has a purpose for that life. And the devil has noticed it. And that is why he wants to hunt that person down forever and destroy the person. Except the person has, you know, receives another chance and come out of it. Praise the Lord. He said, by this men are brought to a piece of bread, and adulterers will hunt for the precious life. He says, can a man take fire, that's from 27, in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not burn? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. He said, men do not despise a thief, if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whosoever committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that dwelleth destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou give many gifts. Praise the Lord. So there are several things you can learn from the story here and of adultery. Here, he said, if a thief steals because he's hungry, praise the Lord. If he's caught, he will restore everything, right? But he said, anyone caught in adultery, you know, in those days, if they catch a woman and another man in adultery, the husband or the woman, they will bring the other man that was caught in the act, in some cases, to say, let the husband of the woman do whatever he wants to do. And the man will say, let the law of Moses take his what? Course. Let's kill him. So that is, even if the man say, here, I offer you all my goods, like we read, I offer you everything. He said, no, I need his soul, that he must pay the penalty. So he said, when people are caught, that is out of greed. Praise the Lord. That of greed. And when people go into adultery or fornication, first thing that you see here, destinies are derailed. You know, I once was in church one day, years back, when I was in praise and worship. You know, and I was in church, a man walks in, saying he wants to see the pastor. He was crossing and somebody to come and see me. You know, the man was dressed in his suit, coming from the office. I said, what is it? He came. And he started telling me how his business, All the doors have been locked, you know, blah, 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 blah. And nothing is moving. Anything that he puts hands, everything has locked. So I said, okay, let us pray. Praise the Lord. This is a true life story. Happened to me. So I raised my hand to pray for him. And for the first time in my life, God said, don't pray for him. He has not told you what he has done. Ha. My hand was like this. I said, sir, God said I should not pray for you. I've never heard, don't pray for anybody. I said, you have not told me what the issues are. You know, people who come to a pastor, they will not tell you all the entire story. They will tell you the part they want you to hear so you can start praying. Thank God, me, I'm not a praying machine. I will ask you questions. Because some will say, oh, pray. How do you want it? Kill your enemies. I'm not one of those. Because sometimes we're the ones that open the door. Praise the Lord. So if you don't understand what has happened, you pray the wrong prayers. I said, God said they're lying to me. You've not told me the real issue. And the man opened up. The man was an assistant pastor in a church. Praise the Lord. And he said, having an affair with somebody in the choir, not in this choir. Praise the Lord. You know, and they thought everybody, nobody knew. He said, the thing has been going on for a long time. So the man, a pastor, a stand pastor in his church, was having an affair with somebody in the choir. Nobody knew. You know the way things happen. Nobody knew. But God in heaven knows. The devil. You know, I tell people, anything you do, you remember the Bible says, we have a cloud of what? Witnesses. And when I think about witnesses, I think like in a stadium where you have God on one side with the angels watching. You have the devil on one side with the demons watching, right? They know. Because nothing is hidden. So everything locked. If you saw when this man came, if you see him physically, you know that he was a rich man. But if you see what he was wearing, his suit has shrunk. You know when you dry clean a suit that he has, you know, it comes rumpled, right? Then his shoe has bent on one side and the front was like up like this. No, I'm not going to tell you the picture of his hopelessness. So when he got confident and told me what happened, I said, why were you lying? He said he was ashamed of himself. But I said, God told you to come here for prayer. Why didn't you open up? He started crying. And I heard the Lord speak. He said, tell him to go to the altar and spend 1 hour there and cry out for repentance. I said, God said you should go down because I was upstairs. I said, go down to the altar and spend 1 hour and pray. You know. And the man was downstairs praying. After 1 hour, when he came up, you know, with the aces in the church, the man was soaked. You know, I just prayed a prayer simply. I said, Father, please forgive him. Give him another chance to get things right. And I just prayed a simple prayer and he left. After like about a month or thereabouts, one day a man drove into the church, a big man, and he was this same man. I said, what happened? He said, ah, Pastor, I've come to thank the Lord. I said, what happened? He said, all the doors have opened, even his container that was seized in the wall for several months. Suddenly they called him and said, the condemnation has been released. So sometimes, or all the times, when we go into adultery and fornication, destinies are truncated. Apart from the disgrace that will come with it, destinies are what? Truncated. Everywhere gets locked. I'm not saying every man that is not is locked committed adultery or fornication. Don't get me wrong. But destinies are what? Truncated. Because the adulteress or the adulterer hunts for what? A precious soul. Adultery is one thing that does what? Derails destiny. Praise the Lord. And when one commits adultery, there is spiritual death because you are cut off from the Almighty God. Because he said, your temple, your body is my temple. And because of adultery, God cannot be in that temple. Are you with me? If you're sleeping this morning, something is wrong somewhere. Praise the Lord. If you're sleeping this morning, something is wrong. It's not from your village or it's you. Praise the Lord. Because when somebody gets into this, there is what we call spiritual death. You're no longer sensitive to spiritual things. That's why I was happy with the song. It says, open our channels of spiritual, you know, communication. You're no longer sensitive anymore. Praise the Lord. And of course, most times, many people never recover from this. It leads to physical death.
It leads to physical death.
Leviticus 20:10 says, and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that commit adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. By the law of Moses, the two of them, I'm still coming to that, because they didn't show us the man. Are you with me? He said, both the man and the woman are supposed to be put to death. Apart from spiritual and physical death, and that comes with adultery, is loss of reputation and dishonor. You know one thing that helps me most times, praise the Lord, since I got born again, I have this belief that nothing is hidden under the earth. My people have a saying that said, every bird that flies in the sky, they see the underbelly. It's only, they never can tell you, oh, nobody will find out. Now, remember, you know, in one of those sermons, Pastor Deboye preached in those days, he said, a pastor had concluded plans to commit adultery with a member of the church. And they booked an appointment to meet in a hotel. Are you with me? So they entered. They look right, look left, nobody saw them. You know, they entered. They opened the door. The man looked left, nobody saw. So as they entered, the girl asked the pastor, say, pastor, you have looked right, you have looked left, nobody saw us, but you have not looked up. That was when the man came back to his senses. Praise the Lord. But everything that you do, saw her, you'll be found out. If not now, later. You know, I read something last night, you know, that got me, you know, cracking. I was just saying, wow. They said, in DNA testing, done all over the world, and Nigeria is third. How many people saw it? Nigeria is third with the worst reputation in DNA testing. That means they said, for every 10 children that they've done their DNA, 7 of them are not from their fathers. And Nigeria has come toward in that direction. Are you with me? So people are married, they are sleeping with other people's husband or other men. Same thing. If, and this is from, I think, other World Health Organization that gave out that detail. If they are saying this, that means, can you imagine what is happening here? Maybe Sodom and Gomorrah might even be better than this place. If they do 10 DNAs, they say from what they've been getting so far, out of every 10 DNAs done, 7 does not match to the paternity. That is very bad. And I think it's only a matter of time it will play out. There were cases of somebody who had a child, who had a family, discovered, I think that was in the US, discovered that after several years of marriage, the children, none of them was his. The man killed everybody, killed himself. It's only a matter of time. Adultery, loss of reputation and dishonor, lasting reproach. You bring a reproach upon you, upon yourself, upon your family. Praise the Lord. Upon your family. Look at what happened to David. Look at what happened to David. In 2 Samuel 12:9-14. 2 Samuel 12:9-14. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be thy wife. Thus says the Lord. Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house. And I will take thy wives before thy eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of by this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall or surely die. Sometimes, even the child that is born out of this, as a death penalty on the child. David did it secretly.
God said, okay, I've forgiven you, but the consequences will play out. You did it secretly. I'm going to ensure your own is not openly. When Absalom rebelled, he took the father's wife in the roof for the Holy Spirit to see and slept with all of them. To fulfill that prophecy. So adultery has a death penalty. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. I'm building up the story. Just follow me. We're going somewhere. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So by the law, this woman in every aspect was supposed to do what? Die. Because spiritually she was already dead. Praise the Lord. I know some people here will have said they should have killed her. You know, sometimes, you know, there's this argument about LGBT. God hates homosexuality, lesbianism. But, you know, sometimes we try to give them attention that they don't deserve. And I tell them, I said, before God, sin is sin. Oh. You tell lies, sin. You commit adultery, sin. Fornication, sin. Murder, sin. Key thing is to live a holy life. Sometimes we'll give them, so they are camping all over the place. They need to have their own right. I said, one day, armed robbers will get and say, it is our nature to steal. You know, people are being crazy. They say, they are born that way. You know, people are living in. So that's why I was happy when there are some people who have been LGBT who are now born again. You know, about last 2 weeks, over 200 of them gathered to say, yes, we are in this camp, but God has delivered us through Jesus Christ. If God can do it for us, He can do it for you. Are you with me? You know, people are trying to justify all kinds of madness. One day, even pedophiles will say, it's our nature to sleep with children. Let us give us our rights. Who does that? The wages of sin is what? Death. But Jesus Christ, when He came, even took this game up. That's called spiritual adultery. Are you with me? Spiritual adultery. That's I don't have any other God before me. Idolatry, right? Whenever you go into idolatry, you are in spiritual what? Adultery. That means you are putting, you're having another God before God. Jeremiah 3:1-15. I'm going to read. It's important that we build up this case. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? For thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yeah, God is not talking to them. Yeah, return again to me, said the Lord. Lift up thy eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been, where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredom and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withhold, and there have been no latter rain, and thou hast a horse forehead that refuses to be ashamed. Let's stop here before we go. God is saying that when we get into this level of idolatry and spiritual adultery, the heaven is shut. The land cannot yield anymore. No fruitfulness. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. He said, will thou not cry unto me, my father, that art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said unto me in the days of Joshua the king, has thou seen that which backsliding Israel had done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and they had played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And her son went for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery. I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defied the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart. There are some people here. God is calling you. And he said, like Judah. Judah saw Israel sin. Bring other gods. Serve other gods. And God said, this is spiritual adultery. He said, Judah saw all this. And I called you. Yes, they hardened their heart. Little wonder, he told Jeremiah, he said, this will go into captivity. They're going to spend 70 years in captivity. Some people are in captivity because of what they have done. And they are refusing to repent and come back to God. No amount of oil they pour on your head, if you don't want to repent, that will solve that problem. No amount of going to Orioke to go and spend time in the mountain if you have not repented. No amount of prophecy and you shout amen. They say, oh, the person with the biggest amen, receive it. That is the lie of the devil. Attempt to repent. Say, Judah must return. Yet they refused to return because they were hardened. Time is running out. You know what I tell people? You and I don't know the measure of mercy and grace that we have. And the way I like describing this is that people have different lengths of mercy. You know when somebody annoys you, said, I'm giving you a long rope. Oh. What is that long rope? I'm giving you grace. Oh. Some people's rope are like from here to London, right? Some people don't. Their rope is from here to Abuja. Some people's rope from here to that door. Some people's rope from here to here. Some people's rope from here to here. Some people's rope don't finish. That is why, don't laugh. That is why somebody will enter a market with AK-47 steal and run away and they know he's out. Nobody catches him, right? His rope has not finished. Another person enters the market and steals bread. They catch him and lynch him on the spot. And you're wondering, we know the notorious thief there now. Why can't they go and arrest him and prosecute him? Why? Different measure of what? Grace. That was why Israel had to go into captivity before Judah. Judah still had a long rope, had measure of grace. And God was talking to them. And yet, they were involved in spiritual adultery, serving idols. And God kept on calling, sending prophets. The same way you hear the word of God every day. It comes in every day. And yet, our heart is hardened. Some of us say, oh, we'll live to a ripe old age. Who told you? Jesus died at 33. Me, I'm over 50. Praise the Lord. I have called Jesus the level he was before he died. Who told you you're going to live to a long, ripe old age? Who told you that tomorrow you'll be alive? Nobody knows the time and the hour when we'll be called back. And that is why when we see an opportunity from Jesus Christ to get it right, we don't toy and play with it. When you have another chance, you grab it with both hands. This woman was a dead woman. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now looking at the woman. You know, we looked at adultery. Let us look at the woman. She was caught in the very act. And therefore was guilty. By the law, she deserved to die. Praise the Lord. Can anybody help me? Give me an insight into what was happening in the woman's mind when she was caught and brought before Jesus. Can anybody tell me? I need someone that is very, very creative. I need someone that is very creative. I need a writer in the house. Please, I need someone to help me. Somebody that is very creative. What do you think was going on in her mind at that moment? Because, see, they are beating her. I'm sure they will have torn her clothes, everything. Are you with me? No more action. I need a writer in the house. Can you paint me a good picture? A painter?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because the woman knew that it was against the law of the Pharisees that he could not escape the punishment or the death of the Pharisees. So he knew that he would not escape the death. But because of the love of Jesus Christ upon her, Jesus came to save her.
You know, at that point, he doesn't know what Jesus was going to say. I want to tell me, at the moment they caught her, beating her, and now dragged her to Jesus, and they were carrying stones to stone her, what was going on in her mind? I need a writer in the house. Can you just give me
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Already, she knew already that her own is totally finished.
Yes.
She knew that already the law of Moses had said so, and she knew that she would never escape it.
Okay. And what was going on in her mind? That one is obvious. She knew she was a dead woman.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In her mind, what we're going to have in her mind should be second chance. Chance.
God, if only I can come out of this. Lord, if only I can come out of this. I will never be found anywhere near adultery or fornication again. If only you can give me another chance to get it right. I'm going to make it right. God, please help me. Is it? She was a dead woman. She knew she was dead. Are you with me? She knew she was a dead woman. At that moment, while Christ was scraping on the floor, the Pharisees were, you know, talking. She would have been saying, if only I get another chance. If only I have another chance to live. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we need another chance. We need another chance. Sometimes we refuse to take it. One thing I know about sin, in Numbers 33:23, this woman knew that her own was up. Sin will always find you out. Numbers 32:23. It says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It's only a matter of what? Time. Trust me. The devil is a master of deception. He will tell you, nobody will find out. Nobody will know. I've got it wrapped up, covered up. Just do it. Nobody. It's just between you and I. Nobody will know the lie of the devil. And the devil will be laughing, cross his leg, and be smoking big cigar. Nobody will know me. Nobody will know God. When the angels know, God knows. My demons are already aware. And are carrying the news all over the place. And he will wait at the right time when you at least expect anybody will know, he will expose it. So the woman knew her own was finished. I was only praying for another opportunity, another chance to do things differently. This morning, you are thinking about the woman, right? I want us to reflect about our own lives. Today, it might not be adultery, it might not be fornication. Those things that we are doing that are not right. And God is telling my son, my daughter, this is not right. Repent. I'm giving you another chance to get it right. Repent. And yet, our heart is hardened. At that moment, her faith was hanging on the balance. She didn't know how Jesus was going to react. At that moment, she would have confessed all her sins. At that moment, she would have died 100 times, you know, and come back to life. Or saying, if only I can come out of this situation, I will not do it again. You know, sometimes when they catch a thief, he says, it's my first time. Just give me another chance. I will not do it again. The woman will have, you know, have said this in her mind several times. Then, let's look at the Pharisees and the scribes and the crowd. He said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were a set of self-righteous and zealous Jews who held onto the letter of the interpretation of the law and their own tradition, regardless of whether they nullified the word of God or not. They were Christ's bitterest enemies. Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and warned against it. Here they were hypocrites. The woman was caught in the very act. Where is the man? Right? Shouldn't they have dragged the man and the woman? You know, whenever I preach that, I like to tell people something. Because I like being creative sometimes. The Pharisees and the Sadducees caught them in the act. And maybe the person that was involved will have been a senior member of the Pharisee. He was their own person. Because if he was another person, they would have dragged him in. Think about it now. Why did they let the man go and brought only the woman? Because the law of Moses was very clear. Both the woman and the man should be put to death. So he was their own member. And he might be a senior member. Who knows whether he was the chief priest of the temple. They let the man go and brought only the woman. They were being self-righteous. Some people are here, well, they thank God I don't commit fornication adultery. But you lie. But you steal. You do things you ought not to do. Are you with me? We are being like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Self-righteous people. They try to keep the law. Even when it goes against the word of God. Praise the Lord. That was why Jesus warned us against the Pharisees. The Pharisees are also in our churches today. Those who have what I call two-faced. They wear a mask. Right? In church, they have a different mask. Outside the church, they remove their mask. Go to their offices. Go to their houses. You know who they are. You know, sometimes I remember my pastor used to say, if you want to know how a man is, find out from his driver. If the man after church on Sunday sitting in front row in the night will go into the bush to see Babalawo to collect Jesus plus, like some people say, in case this one doesn't work, this one will work, the driver will know. He said, I'll go for night to around 1 a.m. or at the drop off for Babbage. As I drop him, he goes, see, Oga will just walk into the water and vanish. After like 1 hour, Oga will just come out again from the water, change clothes, and Taka will go. Meanwhile, I'm a pastor for church. Am I communicating? Driver will know all the crooked moves. You want to know how a madam is doing in the house? Ask the maid. But these are things that you need to know. And here we said, there will not be any difference between the sacred and the secular. Wherever you are, be the same. Put God first in everything that you do. But there are some Pharisees and Sadducees in the house of God. They are busy looking at every other person's sin. Hey, Pastor, thank you for today's sermon. I know Sister Mweke here is going out with Mr. Okorie. Sorry, if you're Mweke Okorie here, it's not you. I'm going to look for names that may not be in the church. Are you with me? He said, Pastor, I know. They're already pointing fingers. I know A, I know B. In their mind, they're pointing and saying, But let themselves, if they pass, if you keep money here, they pass, the money will disappear. They don't see that sin. You need to repent and have another chance. Some of them, they gossip from one place to another. Junior gossip is like using sword to stab people. Some of us, they have killed a lot of people. You say, I'm not a murderer. But when you open your mouth, husband and wife will kill themselves. Are you with me? It's still in the church. The Pharisees, we are busy. That was what Jesus now said. We're going to Jesus. Praise the Lord. He knew their hands. They came to tempt him. If Jesus says, stone the woman, they say, and he calls himself Christ, the Savior. How can you come? How can you be the Savior? And you say, stone the woman. It was a trap. Are you with me? If he says, release the woman, they say, he has gone against the law of Moses. So they knew what they were doing, and Jesus knew. And that was why Jesus bent down. And a lot of people have different artistic license on this. Jesus saw the bigger picture. He said, I have come to save the world. I have not come to condemn the world. I want to give this woman another chance to get it right. We have made mistakes. And God has given us, some of us, God has given us all kinds of another chance. And I tell people, if the day they caught Saul, who later on became Paul, and killed him, we wouldn't have had somebody write almost a third of the Bible. Saul was the man that stood when Stephen was being stoned. But God gave him another chance to get it right. So Jesus knew all their sins, all their hearts. Some Bible scholar says when he bent down and was scribbling, he said, I don't want to mention somebody's name. Praise the Lord. He was just writing. He said, chief priest. What was that chief priest's name again? Who can remind me of the chief priest's name now? No. During Christ time now. Cephas. How many Bible scholars in the house? Cephas. You are supposed to be married to one wife. How about Serena? How about Justina? How about Felicia? So he put Cephas name, put three names here. The deputy in the listen, maybe he wrote his name, John. How about the church funds you've been stealing every time? How about this? So, all those ones who are in the front, who are carrying big stones, because they had mercy, right? So when they saw their names, then the other group would now rush to see what is happening. Because they didn't know why they dropped the stones. Think. So they would rush to see why. What did Jesus do? That this one dropped the stones and walked away. As they appeared, God would just say, Shego. He would write Shego's own sin on the floor. Shego would drop his stones. By the time you finish with the people there, they will have gone back. Another group will rush forward again. He will just put their name on their sin. And one by one, they were dropping their stones. They were dropping their stones. They were dropping their stones. Why? Why did Jesus do that? Can we open our Bibles to John 3, 14 to 19? John 3, 14 to 19. And as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17. I want you to look at 17. That's what I'm coming to say. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. His mission was to save you and I. And that was why Christ was very careful in whatever that he said. Remember when Lazarus died, and he came and said, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He said, no, he's not dead. He's asleep. Because he is God. If he says Lazarus is dead, that Lazarus will remain dead forever. If I condemn that woman will not have a point of having salvation anymore. Her faith will have been sealed. That's why he said, I have not come to condemn you. But if he did, if Jesus condemned you, who else will save you? You know, I used to have a friend in the village in those days. His name is God's Kid. I want to, in Igbo, the Igbo name is Ibechukwu. So we're not converting to God's case. So in those days, whenever we shout God's case, he will shout no appeal. Because if God judges your case and rules over it, who will you appeal to? Nobody. In other words, Christ was sensitive. He said, I have not come to condemn you, but I have come to save you. I am giving you another chance to get it right. Maybe you've done things in the past. You know, we're also using this woman caught in adultery as a case study. But this affects every other sin that we are committing. Some people here, they are believers. They defy this, but they drink to stupor. They fall into gutters. There's nobody here. But some Christians do it. And if they are doing it, you can't defy this body. Some people do all kinds of things. Some people, they sleep, they commit abortion. Even all the children that they have aborted, start chasing them here. You just enter a marketplace and suddenly you see like 20 children, all with long canes. Hey, you killed us. I say, what is chasing you? Can't you see the women? Can't you see the children? Can't you see the children? Some men are laughing. But you, no woman takes sin on her own alone. And when the man is called, he said, I don't care, it's not to me. But it was you when you were going after the lady. So when the woman commits abortion, you are part of it. You know, I can count on and on and on and on. But you know the beauty about salvation? It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you have done. What? Done. 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So when people say, oh, you are judging me, you are condemning me. No, I don't condemn you. What condemns you is whether you believe or not. You believe in Jesus, you are not condemned. You don't believe in him, you are already what? Condemned. Somebody said over the weekend or thereabout, about a week or so, a friend of mine put on Facebook. He said, oh, someone was talking about Catholics and why they need to, you know, repent and not worship Mary. I don't want to go into that. Are you with me? But he now said, are we not saying that all Muslims will go to hell? I need somebody who ought to know. He's a friend of mine who ought to know. I had to call him and say, are you okay? And I tell people, I said, if God in those days destroyed the entire world and saved only 8 people, 8, right? You think he will not do it again? Bible says in John 14:6, say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Can you project it, please? That's how I will say it. John 14:6. Just said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way by which men are saved. That is the foundation of our belief. There is no other direction. Every other religion, they are trying to find God. Christianity, God came to seek you and I out. That's the difference. There is no other way. Don't allow anyone to deceive you. So Jesus is saying, I have come to show the way because I am the way. I have come to give them life because I am the life. So I cannot condemn this woman. I have to give her an opportunity. But if it's not, this woman here refuses to believe, then she's already what? Condemned. Some of us are here. You come to church, you don't believe. You don't give your life to Christ, and you're laughing at the woman. Praise the Lord. It is said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light came. If I put up the light here now, everywhere will be dark, right? Some people will be happy because they operate in the darkness, right? The other day they said somewhere in Oyo State, or is it Oyo, where in the forest, the police stormed in and found out a ritualist den. Are you with me? They saw 20 human beings already captured, waiting to be sacrificed. I told my wife, I said, maybe this would have caught them looking for customers, you know, politicians. Our people who want to come and pay, they say, well, come, you know, point and kill. Choose one person here. Pim. And these are human beings. Nobody knows how long they've been there. Their parents, their relations are looking for them. But it is your belief that will condemn you or that will save you. What do you believe in? Some people don't even believe in anything here. Some people here are carrying charms on their waist. I remember one time we had an anointing service and a young lady was manifesting. You know, you touch her, the thing will carry her. Prum. You know, she will do her leg like she wants to fly like a bird. It was a prum. We took her upstairs. Pastor Austin took her upstairs. Called God the lady, said, lady should search her. By the time they saw, beads and other things, she was carrying on her waist. They said, remove it. She said, she will not. So that's where her, in quotes, her toy power. But she was delivered. But I'm sure she will have gone back to God. She was hell bent on taking it. Your belief or your unbelief is that what will condemn you. But Jesus Christ offers you and I eternal life, another chance to get it. But you remember, Jesus is going to come back. He's not going to come as the lamp to offer us grace and mercy. Jesus is going to come back one day as a judge. And that time, mercy, grace will have been exhausted. Let us bow down our heads. This woman had another chance to get it right. Say, woman, I do not condemn thee. I give you another opportunity to get it right. I want you to begin to reflect about your life. If the rapture takes place right now, or if you are called back right now, will you come to Jesus? God is giving you and I another chance to get it right. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how hopeless that situation is. It doesn't matter how the Pharisees have condemned you. It doesn't matter what they have said about you. It doesn't matter the gossip that they have gossip about you. What matters is, what do you believe? God is giving you another opportunity to get it right. Let us stop being self-righteous. Let us stop being critical. I want everybody to reflect about their life. Are you right with God? The woman saw death face to face. She had an opportunity to reflect. Some of us may never have time to get it right when we are being called. Oh, it's not everybody that will die peacefully, you know, and have time to pray and say, God, forgive me. No. It's not everybody that will have time, you know, to grow old and have a way to repent. No. Anybody can be called any moment. But Jesus loves you. The love that he had for this woman had to outweigh every other thing that was being considered. The love was so much to reach out to this woman, even though she was caught in the very act. The love is so overwhelming. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what they're going through right now. It doesn't matter what the enemy has said you've done. It doesn't matter how big that sin you think it is. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price so that you and I can be saved. He's giving you and I another chance to get it right. You may have made mistakes. Don't allow your mistake to define you. That is not who you are. Don't allow that mistake to define you and put a tag on you. No. They may have called you failure, but you are not failure. They may have called you bad, but you are not bad. That is not the purpose of your creation. Jesus Christ said, my son, my daughter, I give you another opportunity to get it right. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Oh, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Let your conscience at this moment, let the Holy Spirit begin to touch you. Let the Holy Spirit help you to search your conscience. To search your heart. You are in church this morning. Maybe you've not given your life to Christ. Or maybe you gave your life to Christ, but you're not living right. And you want to dedicate your life to Christ. It's time to say, Lord, here I am. Have mercy upon me.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muri Okola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.